Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're talking with Steve Coughlin, one of the most competent people I know, a man who has made it his business to exercise his duty to know about the nature of the enemy we face from Islamic supremacism, the civilization jihad, the violent kind of jihad, the institutional jihad of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And Steve, I just threw out at the end there President Obama's comment about the Islamic State is not Islamic. Tell me what your thoughts are on that, and also this recent revelation from Bill Gertz that there was actually a presidential directive to the effect that we should embrace the Muslim Brotherhood, PSD 11, it was called back in 2011.
Yes, two things. One, President Obama and the State Department's official mantra is that ISIS is not Islamic. Well, Al-Azhar University, which is the most prestigious center of Islamic thinking in the world, it's an authoritative center, said, yes, they are Islamic. They might not approve of what they do, but they are an Islamic entity. And another group, an international forum called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, a diplomatic entity that the U.S. is a party to, they just in Vienna a couple weeks ago met and said calling the Islamic State could constitute a hate crime because calling the Islamic State could cause people to enforce a stereotype that some Muslims believe it's okay to behead people.
Now, you were just at a meeting with that group and found once again that even speaking the truth is not a basis upon which you can get out from under this kind of charge of hate speech.
Absolutely. In fact, the question was put directly to them by me, where I said, are you saying something known to be true can constitute hate speech? And they said yes. And then a member of a Turkish diplomatic corps got up and said, even asking the question was Islamophobic. So we have in the left, because we didn't just have Turkish members of the diplomatic corps there, we had a lot of trendy left European types, diplomatic people, you know, arguing that yes, it does constitute hate speech to say something known to be true if it interferes with their propaganda line.
And this fits into the larger program of Human Rights Council 1618, the resolution 1618. Talk about that, Steve, and what this Organization of Islamic Cooperation has done to engineer its adoption with the help of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely. Going back to what we said earlier, in 2005, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, came up with something called the 10-Year Program of Action to make defamation of Islam, as defined in Islamic law, a crime in every jurisdiction in the world, and their strategy was to go through the United Nations. In 2011, they came up with Resolution 1618. It's a document that was formulated by the OIC that is stated in neutral terms. And they asked Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to help them pass it. Secretary Clinton went to Turkey, met with the head of the OIC, and committed the State Department's best practices to help the OIC pass UN Resolution 1618, whose long-term effect is to criminalize what is otherwise free speech inside the United States. Now, the same narrative that drives 1618 is the same one that got David Shipler to write his book on hate speech that we're seeing actually implemented. So what is important for people to understand is not to understand these events as discrete data points, but part of an unfolding narrative where everything connects up. And then to make yourself know it enough so you understand this isn't conspiracy theory stuff. They publish this stuff all the time.
And to the extent, Steve, that this fits into the larger program of jihad, and I think you've made the case persuasively that it is about holy war, it is about defeating the infidel, and it comes in different flavors. You've got the violent kind that the Islamic State and al-Qaeda engage in, among others. You've got clearly this civilization jihad sort of rotting us out from within. You have the Organization of Islamic Cooperation very assiduously trying to suppress freedom of speech so that we lack situational awareness about what we're confronting. But I did want to ask you about one particular piece of the civilization jihad. There are many different aspects of it. And by the way, folks, we are doing a wonderful series of monographs, one of which will be by Steve Coughlin shortly, on the various facets of civilization jihad, how you can recognize it and what we can do about it. But Steve, talk a little bit about interfaith dialogue as one of the ways that the Muslim Brotherhood and its friends, Muhammad Majid among them, are actively working to destroy us from within by our hands?
Well, this is a very important issue because it's one of those ones you, when you're doing intelligence analysis, you usually don't do because, of course, it gets into the realm of religion and we don't typically go there. But then what happens is you go to an ISNA, you go to a Islamic Society mosque, and Islamic Society mosque is almost always a Muslim Brotherhood mosque where they'll bring politicians in, and there you, the average Jew, the average Christian, be he evangelical, mainstream Protestant, or Catholic, will want to raise a question to that politician about why they're talking to the Brotherhood, but there up on the dais will be a minister, a priest, and a rabbi, and they are there to silence you if you raise these questions. And it got to the point where it was so pervasive that I thought, you know, this really has to be looked into. We have the leadership of the mainstream religions doing the heavy lifting for silencing members in their own community. And so the research revealed that going all the way back to 1988 with a book called Methodology of Dawah, written by a man named Shamin Siddiqui, they said they were going after the interfaith community. But in 2011, the IIIT, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, a Muslim Brotherhood entity, wrote a book on the interfaith movement and how they penetrated it and how it works and how they can do it. And what they basically pointed out, in not so many words, is that there are rules of the interfaith movement that they could use against the other people in it to get them to support them. Well, it turns out that if you go to Voices of Virginia or the one in Montgomery County where I live, it turns out that the interfaith movement is associated with something called the IAF, the Industrial Areas Foundation. And the Industrial Areas Foundation was founded by a man named Saul Alinsky. And you'll find out that this interfaith movement actually is really a cultural Marxist organization. We know this because you go to Voices Virginia, and it's IAF in their URL and in their email addresses.
So it is another example of this red-green axis, in other words, being brought to bear through the sort of soft underbelly of our various denominations in the clergy. And Steve, I guess one of the things that again ties back into what we found with Jim Simpson's book is that you have 9 contractors that are responsible for basically facilitating the hijra, the movement, the migration, the colonization by Muslims of America through our refugee program. And 6 of them have some affiliation. Usually it's a kind of liberation theology tied to one or the other of these religious communities. And it's profoundly worrying. But Steve, I want to come back to President Obama's PSD 11, his doctrine, his directive to embrace the Muslim Brotherhood. Very quickly, what would you recommend if you had the president's ear we'd be doing instead at this time?
If I had my way, we would designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization and expel them from all elements of our national political apparatus and start to confront media entities that work with them as if they are the voice of the Muslim world. This is an entity that seeks the destruction of America through subversion. We call it civilization jihad or stealth jihad, but the term they use is dawah. And we need to understand that people are coming from abroad as members of the Muslim Brotherhood for the specific purpose of undermining our Constitution.
And they're also working very hard to convert Americans to this belief system, either literally as members of the Muslim community or as people who help them in the left. Steve, we have to leave it at that. The time has flown by. A full hour of very, very important analysis and insights. Just a taste of what is in Steve Coughlin's superb new book, Catastrophic Failure, Blindfolding America in the Face of Jihad. Steve, again, congratulations on this great work and that you do with us at the Center for Security Policy every day. We're grateful to you. Thanks for the time today. Come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afty. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.